Thankful, Lord, this morning to be in the light of God. Thankful for His love and His blessings to look down on us and our insignificance this morning and show us the light. I'd like to begin over in the book of Exodus this morning, the 33rd chapter. I've written the title on the board, Let Me See. I'd like to read about Moses. Exodus 33, we'll begin reading with verse 18. Speaking of Moses, he said, I beseech thee, and he was talking to God. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now Moses had a desire to see the Lord. And in essence, his prayer was, let me see. I want to see you, God. I want to know who you are. And I want to know what you're about. And God told him, he said, in essence, putting in my own words now, he said, you wouldn't be able to handle seeing my face. No man can live. In other words, we're going to have a glorified body to see all of God for who He is, because the splendor and the power and the glory of God is so bright. These bodies would not be able to handle seeing all of God. And so God told him, He said, I will show thee. I beseech thee, Moses said, show me thy glory. And God was going to let some of His goodness pass by Moses. In other words, I can't show you my face, but I'm going to turn my back to you, and so you can at least see some of my glory. And as you will recall, when Moses came back down from being in the presence of God, the glory of God, and you can read this in the next chapter, in Exodus 34, but the glory of God shone brightly on the face of Moses, because he had seen the glory of God. The divine creator, Moses had seen part of that glory, and by being in the presence of God, his face shone so brightly, he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't even look at the face of Moses. Do you know that when we come in contact with God, there ought to be the glory of God shining out of all of our lives this morning? When we come into the presence of God, that we would have found that the righteousness of God came on us, that others would be able to look on, and they didn't say, look at the glory of Moses. They knew he had been in the presence of God. I wonder this morning, when people look on your life, can they see the presence of God? When they look on your life, is it so bright? It's like, I know where you have been. You've been in the presence of God, haven't you? I think that's a beautiful illustration of what God wants us to be today. Lord, my prayer is, I want to see you. Our prayer is this morning, Lord, let me see you. Let me see more of your glory. Let me see more of who you are, because Lord, I want more of you in my life. I want more of God. There's a song we sing that says, I believe it says, less of me and more of God. And then it goes on in the song till it ends up, none of self. None of self and all of God. Folks, we are only going to be able to have the glory of God in our life as we see the Lord. Now, I told a story to the young people a few weeks ago, and I'm going to expound upon that and tell the fullness of the story. It's told in many different shapes and different countries. But there was it's a fable. Kind of like a parable that Jesus told. But there was a long time ago, there was an elephant that came into a village. And there were 6 blind men that were in this village, and the villager said, there's an elephant in the village. There's an elephant. And the blind men, of course, we said, we've never seen an elephant. We want to know what an elephant is. And they said, well, there's one here in the village. So the 6 blind men came up to the elephant because they wanted to experience what an elephant is. And so one of the blind men came up and he said, hey, the elephant's like a pillar, because he was touching the leg of the elephant. He said, so he thought he knew what an elephant was. It's like a pillar. One of the other blind men said, oh, no, it's not. It's like a rope, because he had hold of the tail of the elephant. And they would begin to argue about it. An elephant is like a rope, because he had hold of that tail. And another one said, oh, no, it's not. It's like a tree branch, because he had hold of the trunk. And another one said, no, it's not. Then elephant is like a big fan. And it's because that blind man had gotten hold of one of those big old ears. And so he was insisting and arguing that an elephant is just like a big fan. And another one said, you are all wrong. He said an elephant is like a wall. It's just like a wall, because he was touching the side of the elephant. Another blind man stood there and said, just shaking his head, said, an elephant is like a spear. Because he was touching the tusk. Do you know there was room for more than 6 blind men, isn't there? More blind men could have come on and touched something else and had a totally different perception of what an elephant was. And so a wise man walking by heard these blind men arguing about the reality of the elephant. And he said, you are all right. He said, it is like a branch, and it is like a fan, and it is like a spear. He said, but because they couldn't agree on what the elephant was. But he said, you're just telling different parts of this elephant. And you take all of those parts and put it together, and that's what an elephant is. So you say, Brother Michael, what's the point? We live in a world that people are defining God in many different ways. They're defining God. We look from, there's the Christian religion, and there's the Hindu religion, and there's the Buddhist, and there's Islam. And do you know that sometimes there might be some parts of truth about God that they're saying, but it's from a perspective. Do you know sometimes if we even leave God out of it for a moment, do you know that today all of us, there are so many things in life that we can see differently? Have you ever just wondered, had a situation that you thought your eyes were open? Because here's the deal, we all think we're the wise man, right? We all think we're the ones that have the real perspective, and we're the ones that can see, and maybe we're just touching the tail. Or maybe we're just seeing the leg, and we all think we're the ones that has perspective, and we look on and say, oh, you poor blind people, if you could only see like I could, let me help you put it together. Do you know that's what most people think? They're the wise men in the bunch. And they think they're the ones that has it. So we have the world of all of these different religions, and so many times there are so many different perspectives of things. If something happened, and it does all the time in life, something happened in relationships, something happened at school, on the job, in church, something happens, and you think you have it figured out, and you shake your head talking about everybody else like, I don't know what they're thinking. Well, they've got hold of the ear, and you got hold of the tail, and maybe you're both right, or maybe you just don't have perspective. And so what we pray for in those times then is, Lord, would you open our eyes? Is not this the way it is in marriage as well? Amen? I was waiting for an amen. I didn't get one. Is everybody scared? Do you realize that in marriage it's that way sometimes? You know, the husbands have a perspective-wise. If you haven't figured this one out yet, Men see things differently. Now, we may think we're the wise men and all of it, and that's a whole other discussion. You know, but we all think that we see things differently, and the wife may be back here looking at the tail or the tusk, and I don't know how he can think that. Well, we're looking at things differently. So then there's a need to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, would you help us to see as they see? Would you help us to see the real picture? You know, and as I was meditating on this, I started thinking about the elephant in the room. Have you ever heard that expression? There's an elephant in the room. It's that problem that nobody talks about. Well, Brother Bob told us in the revival, it might be time to start doing some talking. Because as long as there's no talking, you're not going to figure out the elephant, right? And you think, well, there's an elephant in the room. I thought, well, what part of the elephant are we holding on to? You know, because we have our perspective. But this is what people do with God, folks. It's what people do with God. So we believe in faith this morning that the Bible is the Word of God, don't we? We believe in faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when we begin to talk to the Buddhists, and we talk to those that believe in Islam, and we talk to those that believe this, by faith, I believe and have found a reality in my life that Jesus is the Son of God. Through prophecy, through divine prophecy, through divine revelation, and through personal experience, that is my belief this morning that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible, and I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Now some say, well, that's faith. It takes more faith to not believe in God than it does to believe in God. You young people say, well, you're foolish. That's just faith. Yes, it is faith. But it takes more faith to believe that something came from nothing than just to call that nothingness God and realize there's a divine power. Alright? So, if we narrow this down then, we believe in Christianity. We believe in the Word of God as the inerrancy of the Word of God. Alright, then we say, well, we believe in God, we're Christians. Alright, well now you have some more choices. What part of the elephant you want to grab onto? How many different Christian churches are there in Springfield? I don't know. But I know there's Catholics, and there's Lutherans, and there's Wesleyans, and there's Baptists, and there's Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's Methodists, and there's Church of God. Right? So what part of the elephant are you going to look at? Because all those people teach different things. Well, let's narrow it down because I'm Church of God. I'll tell you the reason why. Is because the Bible teaches me that that was the name of God's church. It wasn't because someone said, well, let's think about a name. It was because God Himself said that the family is to be named after the Father. It wasn't the Church of Jesus Christ. It said we were to be named after the Father, and that's why He said to the Church of God at Corinth, to the Church of God at Rome, that is the name. So now I've narrowed this down that I want to see, who do I want to see this morning? I want to see God. So where am I going to find God? I want to see God. And so then we have choices to make. So now Church of God. But you know you have some more choices now. Because Church of God, there's Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. You can speak in unknown tongues. In fellowship with that. Or you can join yourself with Church of God Anderson that teaches differently than they used to. There's not really any outward standard of holiness. A lot of things they've just let go. And so now you have a choice there. You can be Sixth Seal Church of God. You can be Seventh Seal Church of God. You can be One Work Church of God. You can be Two Works Church of God. What part of the elephant are they looking at? See, we have some choices now, right? We have some choices. What we need this morning is to get our eyes off of people, and we need to see God. Lord, help me see you. When Moses was on the mountain, do you remember when he was in the presence of God, what God gave to him? God gave to him the law. God gave to him the commandments. Do you know this morning it is the Word of God that enables us to begin to see who God is? It's His Word. When we are in the presence of God, we say, I don't know who God is. How do I know who He is? Open up His Word. Because this begins to explain who God is. We look at Moses when he was in the presence of God. He came off the mountain knowing that God hated adultery. Do you know there's a lot of churches and there's Church of God groups? Okay? I'm not talking about that we fellowship with. There are, you can go to a congregation that has the name Church of God on it that will let you, will say you're okay in your adultery. You can find that. Okay, so a Church of God that will stand for divorce and remarriage and say that's all right. You can find them if you want it, but I want to see God. And I look at the Ten Commandments and I begin to see that God hates adultery. And I begin to see that God said, don't covet. I begin to understand a little bit about God. Maybe I just see the tail, but I know this about God, that He hates adultery. And I know He said not to covet. And I said, He said not to steal. See, I'm starting to get to know God now, aren't I? This is someone that said, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt. He goes on, He talks about the relationship that we have with each other then, right? He talked about keeping the Sabbath day holy, and that was in the Old Testament. But I began to get a little light in understanding that God likes holiness. God likes holiness. And then I get into the New Testament, and all of a sudden I see God still hates adultery, and I still see He says not to steal, but I see that God is a holy God, and I see that He wants every day to be holy to Him. I begin to see Him a little bit better. Folks, when we see God, we're going to be transformed. And I'm going to have to be very brief with this, but this is how people see God. Some people, they get hold of the tail. And does an elephant have a tail? It does. That's right. So there are some people that get hold of a portion of God. The Scripture says God is love, doesn't it? Do you know that God is love? Lord, help us to see that God is love. But if that is all that you see, do you recognize that we're going to be blinded in certain areas in our life? And I know people like this. There are groups, there are so many people in our world that will say, God is love. Jesus loves you. Nothing else matters. James, Jesus loves you. Go ahead and live how you want to live, but Jesus loves you. Do you know that is a correct truth? That Jesus does love me, but it's one part of it. And there are whole groups of people that when you talk about how do you know God, they say God is love. But do you know that that God is a God of judgment too, isn't He? He's a God of judgment. And He's a God that says if you do wrong, there's going to come a time that God is going to judge you and you're going to give account for everything in your life. But people that just see His forgiveness and love say, oh no, God is merciful. God is forgiving. Jesus loves you. Who is God? And then some people say, well, God is love, so anything goes. Everything is covered by grace. Go live however you want to live. And I'm thinking you've got hold of a part of who God is. And you're understanding you're not seeing all of God. And then there are other people that say God is a God of judgment. Is that scriptural, folks? Is it? I need to, give me some affirmation now. Is this right? God is a God of judgment as well. And so there are some people that they start to get this arrogance and God is a God of judgment and they're ready to line everybody else out. God is a God of judgment. You shouldn't be acting like that. You shouldn't be wearing that. You need to let that down a little bit longer. You need to wear it that way a little bit different because God is a God of judgment and if you're going to make it to heaven, you got to do it this way. And that's all they talk about. They've got just a little part. So Lord, help me to see You as, and God does not have a split personality. But all of these work together to define who He is, that He is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. But He's also a God of judgment. He's also a God that requires something in our life. And we see people begin to build their own lives on certain attributes. One will build their life on the God of mercy, and the other person will start building their life and think what they're taking on God and their personality as a God of severity. You know what I'm saying? They're so severe, and you can't crack a smile because God does not approve of laughing. Whereas someone else says, you know, there's joy in life. If anybody ought to laugh and have a good time, it ought to be people who are saved that have the joy of the Lord in their life. But you see people getting hold of just a little different part, and we say, where's the balance? Where's the balance? So I say, Lord, help me see you. Help me see the whole picture of God. Some people get a perspective of God that He's called us unto liberty, hasn't He? Do we still believe that? Do you know you don't hear that very much anymore, do you? It's true. We've been called to liberty. We're not under bondage to the law anymore. And any time, well not any time, but sometimes when people preach that, there are people that say, oh, they're getting close to compromise. No, it's just as much of the Word of God as if someone is preaching on the holiness and carefulness of our life. Those are not, they're not exclusive of each other. But it's all a part of God, that God is a God of liberty. And sometimes we try to put everybody in the same little box because God is a holy God. God is also a God of diversity. He is also a God that created all of us different. I might like blue. Do you know you can think I wear the same shirt every day? We were talking about this the other day. The other day Renee was ironing. I think one of the boys walked by and there were three shirts. They were all white and blue striped. And there were three of them. And there were three solid blue shirts. You could look at that and say, Brother Michael, well, there were six shirts there, and they were only two different ones. Do you know if you like pink and you like green, wear your green shirt, and I don't have to put you in a box to look exactly like me, right? There's a place of liberty, folks, that we need to learn to give each other sometimes, Lord help us, a little bit more liberty than what we do. But on the other hand, that does not take away from the carefulness and the holiness of God. That everything that we do should be to the glory of God, and it's not to exalt the flesh. It's not, we're not to dress in a way that's immodest. We're to dress decently. We're to be covered up. We're to dress in a way as the Bible speaks, and you understand. But do you see, what do you see God as then? So we pick this part of God and leave the other out. But do you know, if we want to really see God and have His glory in our midst, we need the Lord to open up our eyes that we can see God for who He is. Some people focus on their good works. If you will do this and this and this, you'll be accepted by God. And to them, that's what it's about. And someone else says, oh, it's all grace, it's nothing of yourself, it's grace. Do you know they're both right? And they're both wrong. It's the togetherness of the grace of God working in my life that brings forth the good fruits in my life. Lord, help me to see you. And we start seeing inconsistencies when people grab hold of the tail or grab hold of the trunk. It's kind of like someone that talks about having faith in God and says, I have faith because I'm not going to the doctor. But yet their cupboard is full of natural remedies. And anytime someone gets sick, they're calling, you need to take this and you need to do that. And here's a bottle of this. But I have faith in God because I'm confused. Do you realize that there is a consistency about God? Standards, there are some things in standards of living that we hold that there's going to be a little bit of differences, and there may be some things that say, well, Brother Michael, you hold this standard, and it seems like that's not quite consistent, but folks, if we're doing everything we know to do to please God, that everything we do, I want to do in faith. Whatever I do, Lord, I want to learn to trust you and know your voice, because faith is about a connection between us and God. So, Lord, help me to see you for who you are, to know how to trust you, to know really to see who you are and what you want to be in my life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? see God. If you want to see God, folks, it's going to take being a pure in heart, which means I'm going to be willing to lay my own way down. I'm going to be willing to put down my own perspectives. And I'm going to be willing to say, Lord, I want to see you for who you are, and I don't have an agenda. Do you know agendas start warping our perspectives of who God is? Scripture also says every way of a man is right in what? In his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the spirit. In other words, we all say, well, this is who God is. And so then we can take our pick of churches. We can take our pick of religions. You want to talk about let me see? Are there differences among, you know, I talk about Church of God groups. You want to talk about Guthrie people? Does that mean anything to you? Well, Guthrie people. Well, what about those Webb City people? I'll tell you what. What about Neosho people? The Neosho people. What about this people in the South? You know, those LaRonger folks. Well, what about the Springfield folks? You see, there are different characteristics, and I may have more to say on this later. But there are things amongst the body of Christ that you can go geographic. I'll tell you what, start talking about the Oregon folks now. Those West Coast people. Do you know that sometimes you can start looking at these things and saying, well, I think they're holding on to this part of the elephant. What part of the elephant are we holding on to this morning? Folks, I don't want to just hold on to one little part. I need the Lord to open my eyes that I can see God. I want to see God for who He is because I want His glory to rest in my life. I want to know how the Lord, I want to know what the Lord wants me to do. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If you want to see the Lord, folks, we're going to need to live holy. That means that, Lord, I'm going to die out to myself, and I know I've got my ways figured out. Maybe you think you're the wise man amongst us this morning and think I'm the one that if everybody could just see it like I see it. I don't want to see it how I see it. I want God to reveal Himself to me, that I have a balanced life. Folks, in our Christian experience, there are so many people out of balance. I'm holding on to His forgiveness. Someone, I'm holding on to His judgment. I'm holding on to His mercy. I'm holding on to His severity. Folks, Lord, help me to be balanced. Help me to see You. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man, what? Be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Folks, there is a place the Lord reveals Himself to us when we're not saved. But you know, there's a place that we're not going to truly be able to see the reality and the fullness of the kingdom and of who God is until we have been born again. I want to remind you, story over in Joshua, the 24th chapter, when Joshua stood before the children of Israel, and he put a decision before them. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can choose the God, serve the God of your fathers, or you can choose to serve the God of the Amorites. But make a choice. That would have been a secondary title to this message this morning. Lord, we are faced with a choice. Am I going to serve the God of the Amorites? Am I going to serve the... Which church's God are you going to serve? Is that a fair question? Which church's God are you going to serve? Do you know, it's not church that defines God. God defines Himself. So I need the Lord to help me see God. I want the Lord to open up my eyes. And He said, choose you this day. So are you going to serve the God that just lets everything go? You going to serve the God of those self-righteous people? Do you know some? You know some self-righteous people? And just to get around, it makes you itchy. Because you cannot be doing anything and there's just this spiritual arrogance? Are you going to serve that God? Or are you going to serve the God of the one that says, oh, Jesus loves you, go live however you want to live? No, I want to see God for who He is. So, Lord, would You help me and help me to choose to serve that God? And so I would ask You this morning, and I'll look at, ask myself, what God are you serving? Well, I'm the God that the Church of God teaches about. Which one? That's a very unfortunate question that we have to ask. But which one? I want to see God for who He is. I want to worship the God, the Father of Jesus. I want to worship the Savior. I want to know the balance of His love and His judgment and His mercy and His severity and His forgiveness. I want to worship that God this morning. And I don't want to get out of balance. And folks, all of us, I think, get out of balance sometimes. Is that a fair assessment? And we start looking at one part of the elephant, and the Lord says, you need to open up your eyes and look at the whole thing. So, Lord, would You help me to see You? In closing this morning, do you remember when Isaiah came before the presence of God in the 6th chapter of Isaiah? He came into the presence of God, and the cherubims on either side of the throne were saying back and forth, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah, when he saw a glimpse of God, he recognized that I am unworthy and I am undone. He realized the sinfulness of his life when he began to see the glory of God. And it said one of the seraphims took, one of the angels took a coal off of the altar and came and touched his lips. It represented the fire of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God touching them. And then the voice came out of the throne saying, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. When just a few minutes before he was recognizing I'm sinful and I'm not worthy. But folks, do you know when we begin to get a glimpse of who God really is and we are pure in our heart, He's going to come in and He's going to put His glory in our life that we can live without sin. We can live a holy life. We can live with the love of God. And these people that I just wonder, what God are they serving? I'm serving a God that I do these things that the Bible teaches, but some things the Bible teaches, I don't really think I need to do that. Okay, so that's the God that you're serving. I want to serve the God this morning that is defined by His whole Word. I don't want to let any part go, and I want the Lord to keep me balanced. So folks, let this be our prayer. Lord, let me see You. I don't want to follow man. I don't want to just adapt to whatever church I'm in, to whoever my pastor is, to whatever geographical congregation I'm in. But Lord, my prayer is that I would see You, that I could partake of Your glory. Amen.